On the new classical FM, the Scherzo from the Symphony No. 1 by Alexander Borodin. That was the TSO under Andrew Davis. You're listening to Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kadioka. Early in the new year, the TSO will be putting on the program Dvorak's New World Symphony. Well, as the title suggests, it will feature Dvorak's acclaimed Ninth Symphony, composed in 1893, while he was the director of the National Conservatory of Music of America. The program also features an iconic piece by Mozart. His timeless and brilliant clarinet concerto in A major will showcase the phenomenal talents of principal clarinet Eric Abramovitz, and Eric joins me now. Eric Abramovitz, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Pleasure to be back on the program. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been a few months. We're a few months into the 2024-25 season. How has it been so far?
It's been quite a thrill, actually. It's been a very heavy start to the season in a great way. A lot of great big rep, particularly some pieces of mine that were on my clarinet bucket list for a while.
Oh, yeah? Like
big clarinet parts that I, you know, studied in school for years and finally got to play it with an orchestra, such as Brahms' Third Symphony. I got to do that a few months ago, as well as Sibelius's First Symphony, both big pieces for clarinetists and both pieces that I hadn't performed with the TSO or any orchestra. And then as well, you know, some of my favorites like Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony, getting to do that one again. And just this past week was probably the most intense week of all, recording a full album of Bartok's music, the Concerto for Orchestra, and the Miraculous Mandarin, both of which have big clarinet parts as well. And, you know, there's just that extra bit of stress and tension when all these microphones are on stage staring at you.
Absolutely.
So it's been quite a start to the season.
Yeah, my goodness. And then coming up in the new year, so you have a little bit of breathing room, but you are going to be heading in front of the orchestra to be soloist in Mozart's Clarinet Concerto. Are you looking forward to that?
That is right. I am so excited. Also a little bit nervous, but that's normal. This Mozart Clarinet Concerto, it's a piece that I think all clarinetists have a bit of a love-hate relationship with. You know, we've been studying it, practicing it our whole lives, so we know it very intimately. We're very aware of all the passages that give us problems or the tricky spots that we wish we didn't have to play at every audition, every competition. It's, of course, it's beautiful and just very simple music, but I think that's where the difficulty is that in that simplicity, it can be very difficult. I'll sometimes spend hours just playing the same phrase over and over because I just can't quite get it the way I imagine I want it to sound. I would say that perhaps the biggest challenge when you've got a piece that you've played so much and that everyone knows so well and is such a staple of the repertoire is approaching it with a freshness and a novelty and enthusiasm every time as if you were giving the premiere, because it can be a bit intimidating to take on such important repertoire. So actually what I do to try to take a piece like this off of its pedestal is I imagine the portrayal of Mozart from the movie Amadeus. Now, I don't know how historically accurate it is, but I try to approach the piece with a degree of silliness, childishness, and even immaturity, as to not take it too seriously and to keep it light and fun. So, and I'm still working on it. I've still got some time to practice, but that's what I'll be doing until January.
That's great. I think that's an excellent approach. I think fun and silliness is highly underrated, and especially in choral repertoire. So I'm glad you're bringing that spirit to it. Is there anything that as you work on it this time, you know, and I'm not surprised to hear that this is something that you've been learning for what probably seems like ever, and that you've had to perform it a lot and under stressful situations like auditions. But is there anything this time around that you're discovering or falling in love with anew?
Excellent question. Well, actually, so in this case, even though I have played it so many times, I am truly rediscovering it because for the first time, I'll be performing it on the Bassett clarinet and not the standard A clarinet. So let me explain what that means in case you're not a clarinetist and you're listening.
Please do.
So the instrument that the virtuoso Anton Stadler, who is the clarinetist that Mozart wrote this piece for, he was playing a Bassett clarinet, which is essentially an A clarinet with an extended lower range. And Mozart explores this lower range to great effect quite often in the piece. So when you're performing it on A clarinet, you unfortunately have to take a bunch of these passages up the octave. They still sound fine, but you don't get that big, juicy, fat, low register sound and provide that contrast between that bass voice and the soprano voice. And the reason that most clarinets don't own this instrument is that other than Mozart's concerto and clarinet quintet, which both were written for this instrument, there's no other use for it. And, you know, spending many thousands on an instrument for two pieces is not such a financially responsible decision. So I was lucky enough to be loaned an instrument by the clarinet company Buffet Crampon, and they sent me a beautiful basset clarinet. So I've been getting to know it and really rediscovering the piece in its, you know, original version. So I'm extremely excited to be presenting this performance on the basset clarinet. And I hope it will please not only the clarinet nerds, but everyone out there.
Well, also on this program is Dvorak's New World Symphony. I imagine because you're going to be soloist in the Mozart that you'll be sitting this one out. But talk to us a bit about this work, which I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Very familiar indeed. It's one of my favorite pieces. In fact, it's one of the pieces I would say is so well suited for someone who might not be a regular symphony goer or even a first time symphony goer, because it really showcases everything that the orchestra can do. It's such accessible, beautiful music, from the absolutely heart-wrenching beauty of the second movement to the intensity of the third, and then, you know, the wonderful heroic fourth movement. It really contains everything. It's actually one of the pieces that got my wife, who's not a musician, really hooked her into orchestral music, and she's still absolutely fascinated with this piece, and she cannot wait to come to this concert. In fact, more so to hear Dvorak than to see me perform.
No way.
So I'm not sure how I feel about that, but it's an amazing piece, and I can't wait to go out and listen to it.
Yeah, what's it going to be like, do you think, to not be in the orchestra and just enjoy your colleagues?
Yeah, it's quite rare that I wouldn't be on stage, especially performing one of these big works. But, you know, after having played a concerto, I think it'll be a welcome break, and I'm always delighted to listen to my colleagues perform beautifully.
And what else are you looking forward to in the new year?
Ooh, you know, I've been so focused on just getting through this first half of the year until my concerto in January that in my mind, I'm going to like come up for a breath after my concerto and then have a look at what's coming up the rest of the season. But off the top of my head, I mean, just the week after, we're playing Strauss's Tone Poem, also Sprach Zarathustra, mm-hmm. a favorite of mine. I love all of Strauss's tone poems. A little bit down the road, we're doing a Tchaikovsky Sixth Symphony, the Pathétique, which is a wonderful piece. I can't wait for that one. And I'm sure there are many more things along the way that I'd have to look at the schedule just to get a refresher.
We have met several times on the radio, Eric, but on off the topic of the program, a series of questions. I've got some sort of playful ones, you know, nice for December holiday season. Are you ready?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Who's your favorite composer of the moment and why?
Ooh, at the moment, I would have to say Prokofiev. His music has grown on me so much over the years. And what I love about Prokofiev's music is that he has the ability to compose music with such rhythmic and harmonic complexity that I think like any musician can really sink their teeth into. And if you want to even like analyze and dissect it, there's so much in there. Yet he also writes such incredibly beautiful and attractive melodies that even if you're musically illiterate, I think that the music can really capture you. So it's very layered, and I think it works on every level.
What's your dream vacation destination?
A beach anywhere in the world. Just a beach if it's hot, and maybe a pina colada in my hand. That sounds pretty good to me.
Do you see any of that on the horizon over the winter?
Actually, yes. My sister is getting married, and it's going to be a destination wedding in Dominican Republic. So I'll actually be arriving right back from there to play the Mozart concerto.
Perfect. Okay, you play many instruments, but if there was something other than clarinet, saxophone, flute, etc., what would it be?
You know, I'd have to say the trumpet. Lately, actually, this has been going on for a little while, but every now and then I'll have a dream that I'm playing the trumpet, and it's always a good dream. And I think what it is about the trumpet is that, so when I'm playing a clarinet solo in the orchestra, the texture and the orchestration has to be relatively light so that the clarinet can pass through, project, and soar above that. What I love about the trumpet is that we can all be playing forte and giving it our all, and the trumpet can still soar above the entire orchestra. I feel like that must be the ultimate feeling.
It's music, the musical equivalent of flying, maybe.
Absolutely. I need to try it one day.
Pizza or pasta?
Both great, but probably pizza.
Mm-hmm. Favorite place in Toronto?
This is probably a lame answer, but my couch.
Fair enough. Oh, Eric Abramovitz, always a great pleasure to speak with you, and toy, toy, toy for your Mozart concerto.
Looking forward.
That was TSO Principal Clarinet Eric Abramovitz. You can hear his wonderful playing every week at Roy Thompson Hall, but put a special note in your calendar for January 9th through 12th when he will be performing Mozart's Clarinet Concerto. For more information and tickets, go to tso.ca. Let's hear some of this beloved work now. Here's Carl Leister with the Slow Movement.